This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين إمامنا وقدوتنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And we seek His guidance. And we seek His assistance, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we seek refuge in Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the evils of our souls and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees guidance upon, then none can misguide him. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees misguidance upon, then none can guide him. And peace and salutations be upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and final messenger. My dear brothers and sisters, and mothers and fathers, I greet you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It gives me great pleasure to be with you all in Bradford this afternoon, or should I say evening. The sun sets very early, mashallah, at this time during the year. And whilst it is my third visit to your wonderful city, a city that they say one needs to have wudu before entering, it feels as good as the first time I visited you all. I'd like to extend my gratitude to everyone involved in making this event a reality, to Al-Kawthar and you all, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the outset to make our time together an act of worship, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a gathering that has not come together except for His sake alone. To make this a gathering that hears a good word and follows it. And I ask Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar, to make us a gathering that is forgiven upon our departure. This gathering is indeed special, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith which is sahih, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِيمَا بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there's no group that come together. In this hadith, it states from a house, from the houses of Allah. But the scholars say that this hadith is inclusive of all get-togethers that have come together for the sake of Allah, for the purpose of reciting the Qur'an, and the purpose of learning the lessons of the Qur'an, and learning from the inheritance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there's no group of people that come together for this purpose, except that Allah blesses them with four gifts. The first gift is that Allah causes contentment to befall them. And the second gift is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes this gathering to be engulfed in the mercy of Allah. Allahu Akbar. And the third gift is that Allah assigns angels to surround this gathering. Allahu Akbar. There's angels that are surrounding this particular gathering. Even though you can't see them, we believe that they are there. Because this was the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was the one who, لا ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. He never said anything from his desires, from himself. Rather, everything he said was revelation. And the fourth prize. Are you ready for the fourth prize? A mighty prize. He says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the people of this gathering to the angels that are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Imagine. Allahumma laka alhamd kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhik wa azimi sultanik. Laka alhamd hatta tarda. Wa laka alhamd idha radit. Wa laka alhamd ba'da ar-ridha. Indeed, Allah is most deserving of the most greatest of praises for allowing us this opportunity to do that act which is a means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning us, the King of Kings, the Lord of the worlds, mentioning us to those that are with Him, the Malaika. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us in Jannah. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, one cannot help but feel extra special and extra honored today for this gathering, for this series, and for this topic. For me especially, I am honored because I have been privileged to speak about a great man. A man who, mashallah, I have an echo somewhere in the crowd. A man who is considered to be a giant from the giants of Islam. A man upon whose shoulder you and I can only attempt to walk on. Allahu Akbar. A man who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with insight, and an insight that was attested to by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man who was blessed with immense strength and blessed with immense bravery. A man who lived upon the truth and was defined by the truth. And a man who spent his life defending the truth. A man who was blessed with the ability to read and write from a young age, whilst the masses around him could not. A man who grew up upon labor and hard work, and was nurtured to navigate through the laborious life of this world from a very young age. A man no other than the famous Abu Hafs, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. The man who earned the title, he earned the title, Al-Faruq, who is the differentiator between truthfulness and falsehood. A man, O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam, who was known to be tall, and known to be fair in complexion, and a fast walker. A man who was described to have larger hands and feet, mashallah. And if he ever struck you, then he was known to deal a severe blow. A man who was feared and revered, and not because of just bodily might, no, but also because of his might in standing up for the haqq and the truth, and that which he perceived as the haqq and the truth. Radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with him in Jannah. Ameen. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was born 13 years after the year of the elephant to a prominent family that belonged to a prominent tribe. And his father was prominent as well in that he was a representative of his clan in the well-known establishment known as Dar al-Nadwa. Dar al-Nadwa was the house of representatives, if we can use that term. A house that housed the representatives of the Qurayshi clans. And he was a father that brought Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He ensured that he was given a proper education and could read and write. And he nurtured him to be a leader and a person who could navigate that rugged and difficult desert region. For his father commanded that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu from a young age go out and herd the camels of the family. That was Umar's job. Umar was made in charge of grazing and looking after the camels of the family. So he had to take them outside of Mecca and look after them outside of Mecca, far from the Kaaba and far from the well of Zamzam. This was the task given to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And this should be a lesson to those fathers here today. Because sometimes, or we see, should I say, or dare I say, many a time, right? We find fathers mothering their children. And some people are laughing, did I make a mistake? No, I didn't. Some fathers actually mother their children. They don't let them do anything. They don't allow them to feel any responsibility, right? And this wasn't the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nor was it the way of those who brought up individuals that became known and true leaders. As parents, we must give our children responsibility. We should allow them to feel some form of responsibility. Allow them to fail whilst we are alive and around them. Because our children have very few sincere advisors. Very few sincere advisors. Right? Our children's friends' parents will not advise our children as we would advise our children. A father is a father to his child. And a mother is a mother to her child. They advise with sincerity. So as parents, to be diligent, we should ensure that we learn from the people of the past. And we take heed. And we allow them to make mistakes. And we teach them how to grow from those mistakes. Because the travesty is not in making a mistake. Rather, the tragedy is in not learning from your mistake. And rather they make mistakes whilst we are around to correct them than making mistakes after we pass away. May Allah preserve us in His obedience. There's a famous Arabic saying that comes to mind. Man khafa suqut lan yaqum. That the one who is scared to fall will never stand. If you're scared to fall, you will never ever stand. Right? Right? So sometimes to stand, you need to experience falling. So this is a lesson we learn from the relationship between Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu and his father. And even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nurtured within us this important concept of giving people responsibility whilst we are around. For he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to allow the sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een the practice of ijtihad. Even though he was around and they could go to him and ask him for the answer. And we see in the Quran, yas'alunak, yas'alunak, yas'alunak. They ask you concerning, and Allah would reveal, qul, would reveal the answer. But even though he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would allow them this practice of ijtihad. After Fajr, he would ask them to relay their dreams. And then he would encourage the Sahaba to interpret the dreams. And we know how he asked Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu very famously to attempt the interpretation of a person's dream. And he famously said to him, أَصَبْتَ بَعْضًا وَأَخْطَأْتَ بَعْضًا. That you are right in some parts of your interpretation and you made mistakes in other parts of your interpretation. He was there sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do the job from the outset, but he was passing on responsibility to ensure that the sharia was left on the shoulders of men who would use it in a way that would be conducive till the day of Qiyamah, in a way that would be a means for you and I to sit here today upon La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and have a dedicated discussion about a giant from the giants of Islam and a legend, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. May Allah gather us with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions in Jannah. Ameen. Ameen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also taught us the importance of passing on responsibility. He sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen as a da'i, a propagator, and a qadi, a judge. And he told him, how would you fare, or how will you fare when you come across a circumstance that requires a ruling? And he said, radiallahu anhu, I will look in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if the answer is not there, then I will traverse through the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if the answer is not there, then I will practice personal reasoning based on the information in these two sources. The two sources of Islam that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left us with. The two sources about which he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ لَن تَضِلُّ بَعْدِ أَبَدًا. I've left with you two things. If you hold steadfast upon them both, you will never ever go astray. These two things are the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was given this task of managing the camels. But he didn't want to do this. His desire, his passion was to be an entrepreneur. He wanted to be a tradesman. He wanted to trade. And he went to his father and he said, offer me some coins so that I may go to Sham and I can engage in trading, in buying and selling. But his father refused. His father said, No, Ya Umar. That job is for your brother. That job is for your brother. As for you, your job is to herd the camels. Why? Because you have qualities which your brother doesn't have. And he has qualities which you do not have. You see, what the people of before were people of perception. Allahu Akbar. They were people of perception. So this is what he said to his son. But even then, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu never sulked like some of us would today. He was a leader in his own right. He never sulked. Rather, he practiced the command of his father with great diligence. And he did it with commitment and dedication. And he learned great values from that. For he was the one who famously said, these words that can be written in gold. I'm sure the specialists in management would love to have these words. But these are the words of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He said, radiallahu anhu, that as for camels, pay attention. He said, as for camels, if you stay with them as long as I have, you will come to learn that these camels are in need of correct management. Allahu Akbar. That these camels are in need of correct management. Why? Because as you manage them, you come to learn that there are no two camels that are the same. There's no two camels that are the same. They have their unique temperament. They have their unique needs. They have their unique abilities. So as you work with camels, you come to learn that there's no two camels that are the same. And he said, radiallahu anhu, that when you are able to learn that, you will become able to manage them as a herd and at the same time look after them as individuals. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. How powerful is that statement? Right? Let's repeat it. He said that if you learn the characteristics of these camels, you gain the ability to look after them as a herd, as a team, and at the same time look after them as individuals. Allahu Akbar. What a wise man he was, radiallahu anhu, and what a great man he was, radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, was also blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with special skills in the art of horse riding, and in the art of racing, and in the art of wrestling. Not the WWF you guys have come to know of, the fake acting. We're talking about real wrestling. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu had a special skill. In fact, it was said that no one could beat him in wrestling. He was the final person that no one could pass. And he, radiallahu anhu, was a great supporter of the truth. A great supporter of what he perceived to be right. And that is why before he became a Muslim, he was a great enemy of Islam. Because Umar valued unity. And he disliked apathy. And he saw Islam as a concept that disunited homes and disunited communities. This is what he saw Islam as. He didn't understand Islam then, but he saw Islam as this. And thus, he took a great stance against the spreading of Islam to protect the aura of the Quraysh, to protect the aura of the tribes and the families. Thus, he effected a grave stance against the believers. And that was the stance of beating and lashing and punishing those who accept Islam, to deter everyone else from even flirting with the idea of accepting Islam. This is what he did, radiallahu anhu, before Allah decreed guidance upon him. In one narration, it states that he stood and lashed a slave girl from the beginning of the day till the end. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu watched him. And then he stopped. And when he stopped, he turned to her and said that I have not stopped out of mercy over you. Rather, I've stopped because the hand of Umar has become tired. This was Umar. And this is how fierce he was with that which he regarded to be the haqq and that which he considered the truth. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu spent from his money and purchased the slave girl and freed her, radiallahu anhu. And what will make us understand who Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was. But even in his rage, brothers and sisters, this man was an upright man. How? Because once a fellow tribesman and a fellow friend looked perplexed, and Umar, being Umar and a man of vision and a man of perception, he called him and said to him, "It's as if you are thinking about Islam and accepting Islam and accepting the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and this whole speech about worshipping one God and this whole speech about there being a hereafter." So his friend said, yes, if only it would not mean that I face your lashing. Subhanallah, this is what his friend said to him. So Umar radiallahu anhu replied and said, "You would indeed face my lashing, but rather I lash someone I respect than be a friend of a coward." Allahu Akbar. Look at this man. Even in his rage, he was a man who was upright. He said, "I will lash you, but I would have lashed a man I respect. And that is better for me than having a friend who's a coward. I don't need these type of people around me." Radiallahu anhu. And it was because of this attitude and upright nature that he accepted Islam when the time came for him to accept Islam. The Islam of Umar, my dear brothers and sisters, is a well-known story. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for the Islam of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He made dua sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Allah to assist Islam with the more beloved between Umar and Abu Jahl. بِأَحَبِّ هَذَيْنِ الرَّجُلَيْنِ إِلَيْكَ, as he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for it to be Umar. Now, what's amazing, brothers and sisters, and this is another point in note for us to take home today, and that is how Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is making dua for Umar when Umar is punishing the Muslims. Subhanallah. He's making dua for Umar, a man who is lashing those who declare the oneness of Allah and accept the prophecy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How is this, ya Rasulullah? Was this random activity? By Allah, it wasn't. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best leader who ever walked the face of this earth. And he knew people for their qualities. And he knew the value of Umar's Islam. And he had a vision, for he was the ultimate visionary. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had a vision of Islam having the ability of reaching the four corners of the world before he passed away. So everything he did was true to this vision. Thus, whilst Umar is lashing the Muslims and is a fierce enemy of the Muslims, he is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Islam of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. This is a grave lesson for us, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam. How many of us today, we practice practices that are just random activity? How many of us have come here today as random activity? This is not the way of a believer. A believer is one who does a range of activities that lead to one understood, clear end. That is what a believer does. Right? That is what a believer does. If I live in Jamaica, for example. Any Jamaicans in Bradford? No. If I live in Jamaica and I want to ski. I want to ski. Can I ski? No, there's no snow there. But I have a vision to ski. When I'm on my deathbed, I want to see people skiing. Right? So what should happen? If I am clear in terms of what I want to achieve, I know which university to go to, I know which subjects to take at university, which specialization to take when I'm there, because everything I do from then onwards is a means to an end and not an end in and of itself. Today, many of us go to university and we don't know why. Who goes to university here? How many people go to university? Raise up your hands. I mean, Bradford's supposed to have a pretty intelligent community, mashallah. Stand up, young lad, stand up for us. What's your name, brother? Qasim, mashallah. That's a very powerful name, Qasim. You know what Qasim means? He divides the truth from that which is false. What are you studying in university, Qasim? Mashallah. You're an engineer. Why are you studying engineering, Qasim? You're doing a lot of thinking, ya akhi. Say that again. To improve products and services for people in the future. Like, why do you want to do that? Because my parents told me I should do that. Because everyone else is doing it. No problem, Qasim. Take a seat. Jazakallahu khairan. It's not Qasim's fault. It's just what the situation is. It is what it is. We don't know why we're doing things. It's random activity. And that is why many a university student drops out or changes specialization after wasting 2 years of their life and 2 years of their parents' money. And we know how expensive it is to get university education in this particular country nowadays. So what we're saying is you need to do something that is a means to an end. That end which will pull you through the current means that you're in. Even if it becomes rugged. Even if I have to herd camels, but I will continue doing it because I'm not doing this as an ends in and of itself, but as a means to an end. Anyway, that's a topic for another day. You know, being a leader and having a vision and so on and so forth. But it's important that we are visionaries because look at the legends that walked the face of this earth before us. Anyway, coming back to Umar's Islam, it was in the sixth year of Nubuwah, of prophethood, when Umar decided enough is enough. Enough is enough. The Muslims are causing havoc in our society. And he lost patience with the negotiations of the representatives in Darul Nadwa. So he took it upon himself to put an end to it. And with rage, he walked looking for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And on his way to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, obviously with the intention of killing him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he bumped into a man from his tribe, Nu'aym ibn Abdullah. And Nu'aym ibn Abdullah knew Umar, and he knew this man and his character, and he could see the intent in his face. So he immediately asked, "Where are you going?" So Umar, being Umar, candid, direct, sarih, as-saraha raha. صح ولا لا يا شيخ الصراحة راحة. He Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an just spoke out, "I'm off to kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He never minced his words. So Nu'aym said, out of panic, out of fear, he never wanted to release the greatest secret ever, but out of panic he said, he goes, "Do you think the tribe of Muhammad will leave you walking after you do that? Go back home and fix your matters at home, for your sister and brother-in-law have accepted Islam. So this was a huge revelation. And obviously charity begins at home. And Umar, a man of priority, knew this. So immediately, he changed his coordinates. He reset the tom-tom. And he went to his sister's home. And as he got to her home, he heard this whispering coming from behind the door. He heard this gibberish, and he was more convinced that there's something going on here. Why are these whispers? Their homes weren't like the homes that we have, right? So he knew something was up. And who was in the house? A person who was also persecuted heavily when he became a Muslim. Khabbab ibn al-Arat. He was teaching them Quran. So Umar knocked the door. Khabbab knew this is Umar. He went into hiding. And the brother-in-law opened the door. As he opened the door, Umar inquired. And they tried to hide what was happening. But Umar was not having it. And he started striking his brother-in-law. He struck his brother-in-law, Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu. But his sister would also not have her husband being beaten by Umar. So she dived into the way, and Umar slapped her as well. And as he almost did it for a second time, he saw blood coming out from her nose, so he stopped. He simmered down immediately. He was enraged in anger. He was engulfed in anger. And we know, right? We become so angry. And then we divorce our wives. And then, Allahul Musta'an, what did I just do? Then we go to the Sheikh. And we say, Sheikh, help me out here. I've done something wrong. Right? I said this to the brothers in Halifax. Once a Sheikh in Riyadh was saying that a man came to him one day and he said, I divorced my wife. Please help me. So the Sheikh said, why did you divorce your wife? So he said that she one day told me, you're not a man. So I said, I'm a man. He says, you're not a man. He said, I'm a man. She says, if you're a man, divorce me. He says, oh, Ana Rajal, you divorced. He goes, I'm a man. Go. He divorced her. So the Sheikh said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You're not a man. The Sheikh said, a man wouldn't do that, right? So some people have this character, right? And this wife knew, and that's why they say, the one who knows the man properly is his wife. They know they've got the charms and everything. If you want something from him, get it from his wife. Khair. So Umar was enraged, so he slapped her. But as he simmered down and calmed down, his eyes fell upon this material that the words of the Quran was written onto. And he demanded to read it, but his sister was not having it. And why did he demand to read it? He wanted to know, what is this Islam that gives these females so much bravery and so much strength that they can jump into the way of Umar beating a man? And this was unheard of. So he said, I have to read this. And she obviously famously said that he couldn't until he bathed. Thus he bathed and he began reading what they had with them. And lo and behold, it was Taha ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa illa tadhkiratan liman yakhsha. تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلا الرحمن على العرش استوى له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. He read, radiallahu an, Taha. We have not sent down to you the Quran that you be distressed, but only as a reminder for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A revelation from He who created the earth and the highest heavens. The most merciful, who is above the throne established. To Him belongs what is in the heavens, and what is on earth, and what is between them, and what is under the soil. And if you speak aloud, then indeed He knows the secret of what is even more hidden. Allah, there is no deity except Him. to him belongs the most beautiful and best of names. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Umar read this. A man of poetry, a man of skill. He read this and he said, is this what the Quraysh are running away from? He said, the one who says these words indeed does not deserve to have partners associated with him in worship. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And he commanded that he be taken to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was in Dar al-Arqam, and he recited the Shahada. What do we learn from this, brothers and sisters? We learn how to be people of action. We learn how to be people of action. This is Umar. He didn't sit and say, what will the Quraysh say about me? What will my tribe say about me? What will the people say about me? I was the one who effected this whole case of lashing and punishing those who have accepted Islam. How will I look? I look bad. No. When the truth dawned upon him, مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ. The one who Allah guides, then none can misguide. When the truth dawned upon him, خَلَاص. He was the supporter of the haqq. And the haqq defined him. He didn't care about anybody. He said, take me to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, this message is not disunity. Rather, it is unity. And a man of action he was, that he said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَسْنَا عَلَى الْحَقِّ. Are we not upon the truth? And when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said yes, he, radiallahu anhu, said, then why are we hiding and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Surely we have a greater right of worshipping Allah by the Kaaba than those idols that inhabit the Kaaba. And it was agreed that the Muslims will offer their salah in open. After the Islam of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, they marched to the Kaaba, flanked by Umar ibn al-Khattab and flanked by Hamza. And those leaders in Dar al-Nadwa never blinked an eyelid. They said, who is going to cause harm on a group flanked by these two giants? Allahu Akbar. Person of action. Person of action. Brothers and sisters, we have so many things to say, and I think I have 5 minutes left. Tayyib, I have 5 minutes left. Let's try and... May Allah grant barakah in these 5 minutes so that it becomes 10. Ameen. I want to share with you some statements in the Sunnah regarding Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. First, we learn that he had a very special relationship with the Qur'an. He had a very special relationship with the Qur'an. In fact, he was the companion radiallahu anhu, that had the privilege of saying that my Lord agreed with me in three matters. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. He says the first matter with regards to taking the place of Ibrahim as a place of prayer. Number one. Number two, with regards to the hijab, he was the one who said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that indeed people visit your home. Some have sick hearts. It would be better if your wives covered. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah revealed the ayah of hijab. And it was he, radiallahu anhu, who said to the wives of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they upset him, that they should stop. Otherwise Allah will replace them with those who are better. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat with the meaning of the statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And there are many other instances that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, it was decreed by Allah that he would be a means of revelation being revealed. Like at the time of Badr, when Allah agreed with his decision with regards to the captives and with regards to alcohol and its ruling, radiallahu anhu. From the merits of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, is that he was always with the Messenger of Allah, or most of the time he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's countless ahadith where we see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, I came and there came two Abu Bakr and Umar. And I entered and they entered two Abu Bakr and Umar. Radiallahu anhum ajma'een. From the merits of Umar is that Umar was given glad tidings of having a home in paradise whilst he was on this earth. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith in Sahih Muslim reported by Jabir radiallahu anhu, that I entered paradise and I saw in it a house or a palace. And I said, for whom is it reserved for? And the angel said, it is for Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet ﷺ said to Umar, when he told him this, that I intended to enter the house. I almost went into your house. But I remembered your jealous character, Ya Umar. I remembered your jealous character, so I didn't. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he cried and said that, O Prophet of Allah, could I feel any jealousy if you entered my home? Allahu Akbar. Look at the relationship between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. From the merits of Umar is that Aisha radiallahu anha reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Umar was a man of inspiration. For he said, there had been among the people before you inspired individuals. And if there were any such among my ummah, then Umar ibn al-Khattab would be from them. He was a man inspired. He had what today we call the sixth sense. Right? From the merits of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, is that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this hadith is in Sahih Muslim, that I saw people in a dream, in my dream. And they were wearing shirts. And some had shirts that reached up to their chests. And some had shirts that went beyond them. And then I saw Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu walking with his shirt trailing. So they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how do you interpret this dream? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is a sign of the strength of Umar's faith radiallahu anhu. From the merits, O servants of Allah, is that shaytan doesn't walk the same path that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu walks. For once, as is in the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he says Umar radiallahu anhu sought permission to enter into the space of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while some of the women of the Quraysh were busy talking to him. And some of them raised their voices over his voice, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he took permission to enter, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed it, the women ran behind the curtain. So Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, surely you are more deserving of being feared than me. And then he turned to the females and said, O enemies of yourselves, surely Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a greater need of being feared than me. And they shouted out to him and said, yes, you are a harsh and strict man in comparison to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in response to that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by him in whose hand is my life, if Satan would encounter you in the way, he would certainly take a different way from that of yours. Salaka fajjan ghayra fajjik. He would take a way other than your way. Shaytan is scared that if I encounter Umar, I might accept Islam. Allahu Akbar. Right? These are from the merits, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam. I need to end my talk now, and I'm going to end with two or three points if Shaykh allows. Point number one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summoned the greatness of this man, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, by saying that if there was a prophet to come after me, it would be Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. If there was a prophet to come after me, it would be Umar. And the scholars, when they discuss this hadith, they tell us an amazing thing. They say, subhanallah, look at the knowledge of Allah. Look at the knowledge of Allah. That Allah knows that those things which are not supposed to happen, if they happen to happen, then how they will happen, Allah knows that as well, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus we have a hadith such as these. Allah ya'lamu ma kan. Allah knows what was. And Allah knows what is. And Allah knows what will be. And Allah knows how it will be. And Allah knows what will not be. And Allah knows how everything will be. And if those things that are not supposed to be, if they happen to be, then how they will be, He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knows as well. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. O servants of Allah, the second point that I want to share with you before switching off is one part from the death of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Because some people and legends like him, they are people that teach us how to die in their living. And they teach us how to live in their dying. Allahu Akbar. And if we just discuss the dying of Umar, wallahi, there's magnanimous lessons and we will need to sit here till Fajr. But one amazing thing that happened, or which I want to share with you when he was passing away, was that whilst he was bleeding to death, radiallahu anhu, a young boy walked to him, to see him. And this boy had his lower garment below, or dragging on the floor, below his ankles. As he walked away to leave Umar, Umar turned to him and called out to him and said, Yabna Akhi, O son of my brother. Allahu Akbar, look at these beautiful words. In dying, he's teaching us how to do da'wah. Look at that. Not saying, O Mubtadi, O misguided one, O so and so, O foolish person, and so on and so forth. Beautiful words. O son of my brother, Irfa' thawbak, lift your thawb. فَإِنَّهُ أَتْقَى لِرَبِّكَ For indeed it is of more piety to your Rabb. It's more beloved to Allah. وَأَبْقَى لِثَوْبِكَ And it will make your thawb last longer. Allahu Akbar. He joined between the spiritual ruling and lesson as well as the tangible physical ruling and lesson. He taught us how to be comprehensive in our da'wah. May Allah gather us with him in Jannah. Wallahi, we are not here to just say stories, brothers and sisters. We are here to reform our lives from the lessons of the people of honor. They were people of honor. They were few people who walked the face of this earth, but they made an impact. Today we have billions of people, and where is the impact? They truly were people of honor. There were 313 that stood on Badr in front of 1,000, and today you and I are Muslim because of that battle. Allahu Akbar. They were giants, they were people of honor. We are crying to be recognized, but we're not taking the means of being recognized. We want to read about the lives of the people of honor, but we didn't bring into our life the dosages of honor, the medication of honor, the remedy that brings about honor. We didn't. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was a man of honor. He lived for Allah. He spoke for Allah. He remained silent for Allah. He did for Allah. His living was for Allah. His dying was for Allah. Nothing of this world mattered. Nothing of this world mattered. I shared with the brothers in Leeds yesterday some amazing things from his khilafah, where Uthman radiallahu anhu says that, you know what? Once it was so hot and I heard a man screaming and running around. And I said, which madman can be out in the hot sun here? And I walked out to see the leader of the Muslims running around. And I said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, O leader of the Muslims, what are you doing? It's hot outside. He says, one of the camels of Sadaqah has become lost. It's become lost. How can I rest when this amana is lost? I need to go find it. Allahu Akbar. What would you and I do? We'd sleep. Go deeper in the duvet. Right? Put on the central heating, even make it more hotter. Right? That's what we would do. We say, khalas, la yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Right? Our deen is easy. It's okay. La, look at the people of honor. Look at them. This was Umar. This was Umar, radiallahu anhu. Once he said, when he was told, you're a tired man, you should rest. You should sleep. He says, and how can I sleep? How can I sleep? When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave me this khilafah, he said to me, Ya Umar, indeed Allah has actions during the night that you cannot do during the day. And for Allah are actions during the day which you cannot do at night. So he radiallahu anhu said, if I sleep during the day, I will lose my people. And if I sleep during the night, I will lose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who needs sleep? Who needs sleep? By Allah, we will sleep in the grave. We know that there are people who live for 60 to 70 years, but they've been in the grave for over 100 years. We know of people, right? They lived for 70 years, but they are dead under the ground for more than that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us death whilst He's pleased with us. The last thing I'm going to say is the story of Umar radiallahu anhu entering Palestine. This giant, this legend, went there in humbleness. Honor was understood by this man. He knew where honor was. And as he entered Palestine, that was ruled by emperors, he had his slippers underneath his armpits. He had his slippers underneath his armpits. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, these are emperors, you are the leader of the Muslims. Get on your ride, wear your shoes. And Umar turned to him and said, if it was other than you who said this, you would have faced the wrath of Umar. Abu Ubaidah was a respected sahabi radiallahu anhu. Umar said, We are a nation that were wretched. Nobody wanted to know us. We were the worst of the worst. نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ We are a nation that Allah has given honor to through Islam. This is where honor is, not in putting your shoes on your feet. Not in what people think about you. Not in what people think about you. Be strange. He was strange. It was strange to walk with your slippers underneath your armpits. He was strange, but hey, so what? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَطُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَى Glad tidings to the strange ones. He told this companion of his, that we were wretched, we have been given honor because of Islam. And if we sought honor in any other way other than Islam, then not only will we be wretched, but Allah will make us wretched. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Umar ibn al-Khattab, 1 minute fighting Islam, next minute we have people, thousands of years later, we speak about him with honor, we speak about him with pride, and we ask Allah to gather us with him in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins, forgive our past. May Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal al Wahid al Qahhar, grant us death whilst he is pleased with us. And grant us death whilst he has decreed for us to have a grave which is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. May Allah send us angels from Jannah to collect our soul immediately after the angel of death takes that soul from us. Ameen. May Allah grant us shade underneath his arsh on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah gather us together as he has gathered us here today underneath his arsh on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah make us meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and decree for us to be his smile on the day of Qiyamah and not his tears. May Allah protect us from being turned away from his hawd on the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. May Allah make us people who practice a sunnah because it's a sunnah and not people who leave a sunnah because it's a sunnah. Allahu musta'an. Those legends, they practiced the sunnah because it was a sunnah. They valued it, they never belittled it. May Allah grant us our book of deeds in our right hands, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and all the companions radiyallahu anhum ajma'een, so that we can sit with Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu and tell him about our sitting in Bradford one cold dull day where we became inspired. Barakallahu feekum, hadha wallahu a'lam. I love you all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything correct said is from Allah and He's perfect, and any mistakes are from myself and shaytan, and I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.